Let's take a quick look at Amos before we go to the gospel. We haven't talked much about this man. He was one of the earliest of the prophets. He's from the south, a place called Tekoa. It's called Tekoa today. And he was, he probably owned a farm of some kind. He says about himself, he was a trimmer of sycamore trees, but he probably was more than that. And he was a southerner. And he was sent by the Lord up to the north. Well, by this time, the north and the south were divided. And he went up there to tell the rich to stop oppressing the poor in the name of God. That was his message, basically. And the king's first lieutenant went to him. King, remember, you know, Melech, it's not like the king of England. I mean, it's, you know, he's the ruler. It doesn't have to be a big kingdom. And said to him, if you want to make your money prophesying, go down south where you belong. Don't hang around up here at the king's sanctuary. And Amos said, look, I'm not a prophet. I don't belong to a guild of prophets. The Lord told me to come up here. I was a farmer, you know, minding my own business, small businessman or whatever. And the Lord told me to come up here. And this is why. This is what you are doing to the poor, and that angers God very much when you don't treat the poor well. So I'm warning you that if you keep this up, this whole kingdom is going to fall, which, as you know, happened. The northern kingdom fell in 721 and the south in 586, so there was time when there was just one kingdom for a while. And that's why the Lord says the things he says here, you see. I hate, I spurn your feasts. I take no pleasure in your solemnities. I won't accept your cereal offerings. If you would offer me burnt offerings, then let justice surge like water and goodness like an unfailing stream. That's what I'm looking for. I don't need your ceremonies. I don't need your songs. But I do need you to take care of the poor and to care for them. It's a very strong message, and it's by a person who was not, he doesn't say he wasn't religious, he was probably a rather devout man, but he never thought of himself as a prophet until the Lord called him and said, I want you to go up there and do this. It's a good lesson. You may have noticed in the gospel that we have that the story is much shorter than it would be in Mark. Did you notice that? It's about a fifth as long. Mark does that. Mark's gospel is the shortest, as you know, and he has fewer incidents. But when he tells the story, he makes it longer than Matthew. All sorts of details that are left out in Matthew. But the key point, as Matthew tells us the story, is the power of Jesus. The demoniacs, two in Matthew, there's only one in Mark, beg him, the demons, don't send us, you know, out. Let us go into those swine. People always say, well, Jesus had them destroy the swine. No. All he said was, you can go into the swine. They destroyed the swine. And so it's not. But it's, Jesus allowed that because it's illustrative of where demons belong. The people would rather have the demons around than Jesus. The thing you need to know, Matthew tells us that this was the territory of the Gadarenes. Mark says it was the Gerasenes and this other. And these are baffling for us, these differences. This Jerash was a good 50 miles from the water. That could be, though, as I mentioned before, symbolic thinking. It was the Las Vegas of that part of the world. And so it's the remnants of the town are still there. You can still see it. But it was, as I say, kind of the Las Vegas of that part of the world. So that may be the reason why Mark calls this the Gerasenes. The Gadarenes, that town was closer to the water, but it wasn't really there. And it gives you an idea of the fact that we don't have a movie camera tape recorder report. We have a report that's trying to help us penetrate to the heart of the matter, which is Jesus' power over demons. Jesus' power over all that could harm the human race. And all that power comes, of course, from his divinity, but also from that humanity of his, which he will offer in thanksgiving and in sacrifice to the Father. And that's where his authority comes from. And so we have this story here in Matthew, in this ministry that Jesus has here in Matthew. We're in chapter 8, as you know. And you don't, but anyway, it is. And we have the Sermon on the Mount, 5, 6, 7, followed by 10 miracles, 8, 9, and so forth. And so the point is to give us a faith grasp of who Jesus is and his power to bring peace and goodness and freedom if we just ask him for it, to drive away from us any demonic influences that could be troubling us, dividing us one from another, or whatever else could be there. Jesus will take care of it.